their feet, and we will be with them every single step of the way.
Heavy rains and gale force winds have left communities across eastern Victoria without power and a major highway closed because of flooding. Roads, including the Prince's Highway, have been closed due to a combination of flooding, trees down or landslips. Yesterday, the Weather Bureau issued a warning for intense rainfall and damaging winds across East Gippsland, with residents bracing for terrible conditions, but the SES says it has received fewer calls than expected. Around half of all calls were for trees down, but there were no flood rescues. The names of sexual assault offences in the ACT will be changed in line with a campaign by former Australian of the Year and sexual assault survivor Grace Tame. Emily Minnie reports.
Grace Tame has launched a nationwide campaign to change the name of sexual assault offences, which often refer to sexual relationships with children, rather than sexual abuse. She wants consistent wording across all jurisdictions and to eliminate any reference to relationships. In a letter to Ms. Tame, ACT Attorney General Shane Rattenbury says he will introduce legislation to Parliament next week to change the name of the offence. He hopes to change it from sexual relationship with a child or young person under special care to persistent sexual abuse. Ms. Tame has praised the move and said she'll continue campaigning for other jurisdictions to follow suit.
Turning to sport, 18-year-old Spaniard Carlos Alcaraz has become the youngest man ever to win the Miami Open. Alcaraz defeated Casper Ruud 7-5, 6-4 in the final this morning. He has broken Novak Djokovic's record as the youngest man to win the prestigious tournament. New women's world number one Iga Świątek won the women's draw yesterday, defeating Naomi Osaka in straight sets.
National Radio News, produced by Charles Sturt University, the Community Radio Network, and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5.
It's 2 minutes past three on Alive 90.5. You're listening to The Business of Life with Mario and Matt, and right outside, it is beautiful. I got to tell you, 28 degrees, sun is shining, and it's not this weird weather we've had recently. The rain, the sun. But you know what? It's looking like it ain't going to stop. Today, we've got tops of 28 degrees. Tomorrow, similar looking. It's going to be tops of 26 and a sunny day ahead. Wednesday, unfortunately, that unpredictable weather. It's going to be tops of 23, going to be a rainy day. It's even going to dip a little bit on Thursday, tops of 20 degrees there. So not looking in our best favour, unfortunately. You're listening to The Business of Life with Mario and Matt on the Live 90.5. This is your sound and your community. We're live in Borkham Hills, and Mario and I are live with Grace Dagger and John North, who are live in studio with us, thankfully. I'm very happy to have people live in studio. Though, John, I've got a question for you. So when it comes to when you help promote people and you help market them and you help publish their book, what is something that you see, like, when people go to write the book and, like, they're an author, something that they miss? What's an initial thing people need to start looking at when they even just think of writing a book?
Well, it's an interesting thing you talked about before, about the answer to your question before, I think, is expectations. Because what most people do is, when you talk to someone about to write a book, for example, or anything for that matter, is expectations, to find out actually what they want. Because most people don't do that. They'll just assume they want this or want that, and then they go and do it, and then later on say, I didn't want that. So part of the reason is getting that picture of that book and what they want to do. And then making sure that you can get it into we usually try and do a book about 40,000 words, because that's a nice read, it's quick, and it's not expensive to print a book. Like, I brought some today with me, and they're small and they're easy to print. And so the idea behind it is getting that story nice and neat and not repetitious as well. So having a plan. And so we normally plan the book out in advance with table of contents first. And that's the first thing that most people don't do when they write a book, is they don't put table of contents down.
Do you think people know exactly what they're going to write, though, even before they write the book?
Well, that's the problem, you see. Most people sit down with page one, chapter one, and sit there in the flashing screen like on the TV, right? In the movie, just sit there just flashing away, nothing happens. And so that's the hard part. So if you break in little tiny chunks, though, if you write a table of contents, like, well, we always do the title cover first. So we've got all that done first. We don't write the book until we've done the title and the cover. Wow. Then we do a table of contents. It's really what you call a Tarantino, right? Start at the front, at this end of it, and work your way backwards. And then do the table of contents, figure out what you're going to write. Then all you have to do is just break the table of contents into chunks. Then you've got that little project to write one chapter.
Mm.
And often we'll also figure out what the last page is going to say as well before we start writing. And then you've got the whole circle around the thing. You know, it's going to be a massive 100. I think I did an 800-page book for someone once. Someone crazy.
100 pages.
800 pages. I'm like, 160,000 words. Like that thing, I could beat someone to death with that book. Like an intruder.
More than a book.
Mind you, it was about natural childbirth. So I asked the question, right?
There's
another thing. The book that says what you're expecting when you're expecting or something, the most famous book around, that's about 800 pages long. It's like long. And so you realise that people will read that amount of book on that subject because they want to learn all about it. Right? So when you think, when I looked at it, I thought, that's too long. Like, that's too big. But when I realised that market will read that book because they expect it to be long, they want that. But most people don't want a book like that. That's a mammoth read, right?
It's almost intimidating to look at.
Yeah, it is thick. I should have brought it, showed you. It's like you could beat someone to death with it, man. Like, it's that thick.
Is it a hardcover?
Yeah, we've got a hardcover and soft cover. Yeah, now hardcover is really hard. Yeah. So I mean, the book has to be as long as it needs to be. But figuring out that story and getting that thing in a box first.
Because I feel like it'd be similar on Grace's end too, when people come to you and wanting to plan their events.
It's bigger and bigger. Yeah. Bigger than Ben-Hur, probably.
We started with just balloons on, you know, on a table, but then we ended up with the show-stopping crazy wow.
So what's our journey look like for someone? And what do you think they need to come to you with first?
They need to, and again, not everybody knows what they want. So it's my job.
And that's fair.
Because they've never done it before. Like when we do book publishing, they've never done it before. What do they expect, right? Yeah,
they've never had, I mean, even a new mum who's talking about doing a baptism for her daughter. That's part of her dream. It's not about the kids christening. It's about the mum, and it's about what the mum's going to, you know, what her friends and her family are going to say about what the event she's created. So it's... The baby's just there.
He doesn't remember it anyway.
Imagine if he'd done the wedding for the Kim Kardashian. What did you? Are you laughing? It's funny.
I think one day, I know that one day the Kardashians are going to pick up the phone and call me and say, "Grace, we need you." And I'm working towards doing that. But in the process, I'm working with a lot of very influential people as well. And I've got a few upcoming and crazy events happening.
Okay.
Which I can't talk too much about now, but a lot
fair
of...
Fair enough.
So I
share more with us. Who is this people?
I think when you're working within this industry, you meet and get to know a lot of beautiful people, but you also get to meet and get to know a lot of influential people as well.
Yeah.
And in forming relationships, you end up forming relationships with some of the right people, and some of the people who are there with the same intentions as you and who are there to help you and need you to help them. Without saying, I can't give out any names.
No, that's okay.
That's your job, Murray, isn't it? Getting stuff out of people.
I'll find out. I've got to call the Pierre. I've got to say Pierre.
he's probably more tight-lipped than I am. But in saying that, we're working on a show-stopping experience and let's just say influencer event, maybe in April.
Does that make a difference? Both of you, John. First, start with you. Does it make a difference between somebody who is influential and needs your services than average Joe like myself?
In terms of writing a book, not really. I mean, the thing is, I think most people think they need to be famous to write a book.
Yeah.
That's the first sort of myth that comes out of this.
Yes.
Because the thing is, they think, once I get famous, I'll write a book. The reality is most of these famous guys don't even write those books, right? They're just ghost. Most of the Tony Robbins books and stuff like that, they're all ghost written. I know the guys who do this.
That is fact. And, you know, sorry to interrupt today. I was, before the COVID, I was on one educational event and I was being then invited. And the guy comes to us and like, you don't need to write the book. I was like, what do you mean you need to write the book? I forgot the name of the website. There's a book's been written already.
Those sort of
I forgot. Yeah, so like, you know, and what it happened, I said like, what do you mean this is not my book? You just buy the book, right? $15 book.
Wow.
It's been written, right?
And you just put your name on it.
Yeah, you just put your name, your title, whatever it is. Let's say
reprint rights.
Yeah, that's great. And I said like, that doesn't make a freaking sense. So what it happened, right? A few months later, just by out of the sheer, you know, I mean, I don't know, the God, Providence, whatever it is, I was in some event. And there was four guys, you know, having the books with them. And all four books are identical, word by word, a different cover page and, you know, with the name and everything else. And then I realized I didn't want to embarrass them because, you know, I got the books and it's embarrassment. So you can't say you wrote a book because I know they purchased that book. Like $30 is something. So everybody can buy that book, right? So like you have hundreds of authors of the same content inside, but they were just changing the names, right?
Yeah.
That was interesting. But John, please continue.
That's interesting because we call them legacy or logic books. So basically, a lot of people want a legacy book. They're the hardest to write because they've got to write about yourself. That usually takes 10 times longer. But your logic book is quicker because you're writing about what do you know. And so some people sort of circumvent that by going and getting reprint rights. The thing about reprint rights is you can't publish that book on Amazon. Has a whole plagiarization system that picks it up. And had one guy that tried to write his book through Google, basically. Googled it all, Googled his way to the book. And when we went to publish it, Amazon says, oh, no. Computer says no. You can't do that. But you need to know your book, right? You know, you need to understand your book. But a lot of people we do is we help them write a book without writing a single word. And the way to do that is to record what they say and transcribe it and get an editor to clean it up and keep their words, you know, to the way they want to talk about it. But it doesn't mean you have to be a great writer to write a book. Your concept, your ideas, that's what's the book's important part of it, not the actual writing of it, not the bad grammar necessarily. You know, somebody else can fix that up. It's about getting your story out.
I run statistics. Okay, you can correct me there, but I run statistics this morning and they say the topic most sell book. The topic it is dieting.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. And shirtless men.
Cool.
So go to Amazon or Smashwords and look up the main books that sell, romance and shirt on, and then just a whole sea of shirtless men.
Wow.
And so those got, like, when we give you an example, when we sell 10,000 books that week, we got to number 100 on Amazon or something like that.
Yeah.
98 or something. We actually check the books beforehand above us.
Yeah.
And they're all romance books, you know, like, and they're all shirtless men. So they're selling 10,000 books, you know, like a couple thousand books a day.
I'm happy to style the photo shoot.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm sure you. And so, yeah, shirtless men sells books.
So what's the topic of, what do you mean shirtless men? Like, it's about men romance, right?
Romance novels.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on, cry me a river.
The chick flicks. Yeah, the chick flicks. Yeah, they sell like gold hotcakes, man.
Oh, notebook number two. Like,
so diet books, you know, that's, you're buying hope there.
That's to get into shirtless authors, men, right?
Yeah, but you're buying dreams on the other side. So what are you buying, right?
But, you know, technology has gone so far because now we have the last decade, you know, it's not just a book you can do, self-publishing book, you have the publisher like yourself who helps to build the book. So the dream of the having your own book or writing the book and being, you know, seen on a daylight, it's become reality. And then we have the now audio books. Same book can be in audio format and, you know, all these things.
It becomes your legacy, really. The book becomes your legacy. It's interesting, when Gutenberg first printed the books, like he reprinted another book that was the same as the other book, they thought it was some sort of evil person, devil.
Yeah, but
so the very first time the books were ever printed, reprinted, because everybody used to handwrite them out, they thought that he was the devil and he should be, you know, like it was a whole magical thing going on.
But first,
and put him in jail.
Printed,
you know?
Was a Bible. He printed the Bible.
Yeah, he printed the Bible and he thought there was something, you know, something really bad going on there. So it's come a long way since then, right? But the reality is your legacy, right? It'll be there. Your book will be there hundreds of years later, right? Your book will be on Amazon. It's printed.
Grace, the, you know,
it's a legacy.
You see? He's giving the birth of your book in your head already. I can see this. So let's suggest me it's a live 90.5 FM. Take a short break with our guests, John Knott and Grace Dagger. And after the break, we come with more questions, more different questions about business. Take a break.
Alive 90.5.
Are you ready for the beaches? Are you ready for the weekends? Are you ready for the summer? The summer's not ready for me. Are you ready for the long nights? With your body looking just right. Are you ready for the summer? Cause summer's not ready for me.
GameStop, it was ready for me. Stock going up heavy on me. No stress on me, put that protect on me. I keep a check on me, your girl sex on me. She likes summertime, number six, number nine. Let me lie, man, I mix it up and give it to her, baby, anytime. I got plenty time, push that thing into mine. I know exactly what to do, baby, you ain't. I mean, you probably got a clue, but you ain't. Slim thick, summer fine, get off that peak, you put it at the wall.
Are you ready for the beaches? Are you ready for the weekends? Are you ready for the summer?
Summertime, baby.
Cause summer's not ready for me. Are you ready for the long nights? With your body looking just right. Are you ready for the summer? Cause summer's not ready.
I think you're ready for the main event. Come and get it, baby, play it up win. Spread it for me, don't get spread too thin. If I'm too much, baby, hit two friends. I got the sea moss. My body looking like Ibiza. She'll do anything for a visa. She got the fever, she gon' sweat a leader. Looking like no gag reflex. Respect, fresh out the pack, no defects. Secret, baby, no hands and ass on T-Rex, no fans, only fans might be next. I'm a call and I'm coming with the ball. Yeah, took the summer off, summer 20 was a loss. We'll be back home in this finger looking good to the last drop, says West with the back shot. Yeah. Yeah.
I must confess, I'm freakiest in the summertime.
Can I get an amen?
I'll get some rest when summer ends. So let me blow your mind. Hey.
Are you ready for the beaches? Are you ready for the weekends? Are you ready for the summer? The summer's not ready for me. Are you ready for the long nights? With your body looking just right. Are you ready for the summer? Cause summer's not ready.
Alive 90.5, all the way from the 70s, 80s, 90s and today.
McGrath Estate Agents understand that selling your home is one of the most important financial decisions you'll ever make. With award-winning teams in the hills, their service goes above and beyond any other to create great results and lifelong relationships to deliver the best possible result. Brett Humby of McGrath Estate Agents will unlock value in your home you never knew existed. To realise more and experience the McGrath Advantage with Brett Humby, head to mcgrath.com.au or search Brett Humby today. Station sponsor.
SE Timbers Castle Hill are flooring experts. Not just flooring, SE Timbers supply, install and guarantee solid timber, engineered, laminate and vinyl flooring, as well as carpet, blinds and shutters. An authorised dealer of major brands like Boral, Preference and Quickstep. Call 98946660 or visit setimbers.com.au to arrange a free quote today. Station sponsor, SE Timber Floors and Shutters, ingrained quality.
It's 19 minutes past 3 on Alive 90.5, The Business of Life with Mario and Matt here in Baulkham Hills. What am I saying? We're live with Grace and we're live with John, who are both live in studio with us, and we were just talking on the break, and I want to get into that last thing we spoke about, Grace. So let's start with you. In terms of COVID, we'll ask John in a second, but as an event planner, what are you doing throughout COVID? Your events are closed. There are no weddings, there are no engagements, no christenings. People aren't getting together. People are locked inside there, you know, in their room. Some of them got to isolate as well in places they don't even know, and some of them are stuck outside of home, which is very, very sad. But how did your business go throughout COVID, and how did you deal with the situation?
I think COVID was actually a blessing in disguise for us, because it was probably our most successful year since starting GD. It just
As an event planner.
As an event planner. I know, weird, huh? When you're stuck at home and you can't do events, but that doesn't mean that people can't still celebrate. People's birthdays didn't stop. People's anniversaries didn't stop.
Mm.
People's, you know, care for one another
be
didn't stop.
Be careful what you say, because some fines
some
can
people
be,
did.
Some people going to get the fines if they have a party.
No, I mean, like, your birthday's on a certain day. Yeah. Just because you're stuck at home doesn't mean that your birthday is now being pushed forward until the end of COVID. It's still your birthday, right? So either way, people still wanted to do something to celebrate that day, whether it was just by themselves or whether it was just with their immediate family. Or I don't condone walking out to your neighbours when you're supposed to be in lockdown, or travelling. No, you can't do that.
Good choice of words.
Because you're from Bankstown area, right?
Yes, we didn't do any of that.
Well, look, I know you have a different set of rules. So
of
like,
course.
You know,
no, we don't. No, but in reality, like, you know, those important milestones in people's lives didn't just go away because we couldn't go out. So when we were hit with COVID, I think I started walking around the house thinking, like, hitting my hand on my head going, what are we going to do? Like, I've worked so hard to get here and now you're physically telling me that we cannot open the door and walk outside. Like, there has to be more to this than what we can, than just doing events.
So what was that more?
So the initial idea was that I took myself to Kmart, actually, because I couldn't really go anywhere else because I was in a
confined space with the family.
So Kmart was allowed. Like, I was allowed to go to
Kmart. It
was like
a date with the Kmart.
Taking showers like going out.
I thought, people can't go out and celebrate events. People can't go out and celebrate their birthdays or have, you know, their functions. But like I said, the date's not going to move. The celebration could move.
So how did Kmart help you?
I decided to take the celebration to the people.
Okay.
So in doing that, I developed a at-home party kit. This is how it all started. Went to Kmart, got some balloons, got some paper plates, got some props, like little things that would confetti, little things that would bring some joy to people's houses. Went to the grocery store, got some items, and created a grazing box. And I created it with the concept of bringing the celebration to your home, mm-hmm. so that you could still celebrate and commemorate that milestone, and, you know, had some little balloons and little props and whatever just to add some entertainment, add some joy into these people's lives.
So just to stop you there, please. So, you know, we're talking about inflatable.
inflatable, like, I'm thinking things. About three
inflatable things. Okay,
balloons.
Okay, yeah, but well, what if it's a single person, right? You know, he needs to have the body, you know what I mean? Do you send grazing box with inflatable body?
Well, we
or buttoness
no,
or
not, not really.
No, that's okay.
No, I didn't. I got a request for a lot of interesting things, but never
really?
An inflatable body. Yeah, never an inflatable body.
No, I was there serious because people are very lonely, and there was a lot of single, you know, people who are on their own. Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
the way I filter loneliness is through food. So I was offering them food as comfort,
and
right?
Which
goes into diet books and
you started a whole boom on diet books
and self-help COVID recovery. But sorry, I made these boxes and sent them to a couple of my friends who just happened to be influential people on social media, and then it took the world by a storm, I guess, and the brand GD the Graze developed, and now we do constantly do grazing boxes and gifts and grazing boards, and we now do catering as well, so it's developed a whole new different offering that goes hand in hand with events, but I still get people who order just random grazing boxes for their neighbors because they can't actually physically get to them and they want to say happy birthday to them. It's become a gift offering, and it made us survive through COVID, and it actually was the reason why my business grew and our I ended up having to hire people because we couldn't physically take on the work on it by myself, I guess. So
well done.
My team
well done,
grew,
Grace.
My offering grew, our presence, I guess, on social media grew, our presence as a company grew. It was the best thing that could have happened to us. So sometimes you look at the storm and you think, how am I going to get through this? But it takes strength, determination, and perseverance and willpower, and you can fight that storm and get through the sunny side and still have your head held up high.
So there's always the rainbow at the end of the storm.
Correct.
So tell us, please, John, COVID, what was that impact on you, and how did you sustain your business at such a difficult time?
Because it's interesting with COVID, because a lot of the clients we deal with are coaches, consultants, those sort of people that do like events normally. They go out there and they speak in front of stages and stuff like that. And I'd been on the back, particularly the guy with the cancer book, you know, I kept on telling him, you know, like, you need to do some of this stuff, and he wouldn't do it. It was too easy to go out and just do that. And so within 6 months, you saw this whole shift from people wanting to suddenly do all these Zoom events when they would never do them before.
True.
Right, they wouldn't do Zoom. They just said, I'm not doing it. Like Tony Robbins has spent like, I think like $1 million on a studio to set up a live studio to have an event with on Zoom. And you realise that it could actually pull that off in terms of an actual live event. And so I think a lot of the pivoting started with that whole thing, like in entrepreneurs, like Grace side of things. You got to think, if you're an entrepreneur, you can pivot. When you're a business owner, you tend not to, because you're stuck in bricks and mortars usually, so it's very difficult to change your business. But when you're when you've got an online business, it's much easier to change. And so we saw this whole change. And so there was a bit of a quiet period there for a while, which was good, because I needed some time to catch up with the software that we needed to develop. So it kind of, but started to really pick up after a while. Like, you started getting these people that wanted to, you know, get around to doing their books, that, you know, they wanted to get it done when it was quieter now, that they didn't have that stuff going on. But that initial kind of 6 months, I don't think those guys thought they were just going back to events and they wouldn't have to worry about it. And then the realization set in that they're going to have to change the way they do it. Now they like it, right? Now they're doing a mixture of Zoom event and live event and all that sort of stuff. So I think it's changed the travel industry. It's changed a lot of different industries that will never go back the same.
May I ask you, it's a question which bothers me for some time, and I try to understand what's happened during the COVID to the people. But do you believe, from your point of view as a publisher, that people used that time wisely to create?
No, they didn't.
I didn't even finish my question.
I think they didn't.
Do you know why not? Because the little brown bag was on the door every day with Grace and the bubbles. But they start eating more, right?
Yeah. I got a great title for a book we won a couple of at one point.
Yes,
we took the guy out of it in the end. It's probably not politically correct. But it said, so you're still fat.
That's politically correct.
Right.
That is correct, yes.
And I took him out of that in the end, because I thought I'd just going to insult people anyway. But reality was that nothing changed, right? You do all these things and nothing changes. So, but people don't think about gradual change, right? A little bit at a time. And I think that's what a lot of people did. They sort of like thought, I'll do something big. Well, can't do anything. And then they don't get around to it. They just keep putting it off.
They tend to do something that's big in the public eye right now. What's trendy?
And they get stuck on social media or whatever happens. I mean, I started watching the news for the first time in 5 years. It's like crazy stuff, right? Because I never watch the news anymore. Like, and then suddenly you start watching the news your habits, you know.
But it was obvious to see during the COVID that every day, what was 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock press conference.
Yeah, yeah.
It's become like an altar, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
a
worship, you know what I mean? Your religion, the COVID.
Everything stops.
Everything changed. It was almost like very weird. So I think people, when you write a book, it's all about pieces. Just breaking into little tiny pieces. It's not an elephant to eat. Like, you've got to break into little tiny pieces. And I think that's part of the problem with people with COVID. They didn't break it into small chunks. They tried to achieve something, didn't work. They're still fat, so they just gave up.
And but you're correct. You know, like, people, they still continue that sort of lifestyle, right? You know what I mean?
Yes. People don't change, really.
People don't change, but what I'm surprised with, that I expected after the COVID is going to be big boom into books, you know, like, I don't know, new manuals or, you know, podcasts are being there, you know what I mean? I saw it's increasing.
Dramatically increasing, yeah.
You know what I mean? But there again, now I was just checking on Spotify Saturday, I was flying from Brisbane and just spoke with the Grace before that, catching the flight to Sydney, and I was doing some research for the podcast, and then I saw how much Spotify decreased, like thousands podcasts per day actually just disappearing because they're not active over 3 months.
Yeah, it's about how long the last podcast lasts, about 3 months before they give up. But you know the interesting thing? There's like a trillion websites now. There's about 3 million books on Amazon, and there's about 1 million podcasts.
Why is that good?
So think about the fact, where's your opportunity? It's not a website.
Yeah.
Because there's too many of them, right? But the opportunity sits in that podcast / book market, because there's still a lot of
I have potential. Idea, John. I'm happy to sponsor this one. You know, podcast. Are you sure you want to marry it?
You sure you want to marry
it? 95.
Are you sure?
We take a short break with our guest, Grace Dagger and John Knott, and we'll take a short break, and after the break with more questions with our guests.
Alive 90.5.
What's on at Workers? Enjoy free live music every Saturday night at Workers Blacktown. Every Saturday night and Sunday afternoon at Workers Sports. And every Sunday afternoon at Workers Hubertus. Plus, enjoy a full range of dining facilities. Visit the website at www.workersclub.com.au for the full music schedule. Plus, plenty of other activities including raffles, bingo, promotions and fun events. Workers is your club. Station sponsor.
We are the Insight Intelligence Group, specialising in Australian corporate investigations and information risk management, workplace investigations, competitor analysis, social media intelligence, reputational risk management, internal or external investigations. Professional and proactive, Insight Intelligence Group works with you to ensure the success of the investigation. Australia-wide or global, facts, not opinion. 02-882-9837. Insightintelligence.com.au.
Station sponsor.
Oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. It is so big. She looks like one of those rap guys' girlfriends that, you know, who understands those rap guys? They only talk to her because she looks like a total prostitute, okay? I mean, her butt is just so big. I can't believe it's just so round. It's like out there. I mean, gross. Look. She's just so black.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Now when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough, cause you notice that butt was stuffed. Deep in the jeans she's wearing, I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh baby, I wanna get whipped up and take your picture. My homeboy's trying to warn me, but that butt you got makes
me so horny.
Rumpa smooth skin, you say you wanna get in my bins? Well, use me, cause you ain't that average groupie. I seen her dancing, to hell with romance, and she's sweat, wet, got it going like a turbo vet. I'm tired of magazines, saying flat butts all the thing. Take the average black man and ask him that. She gotta pack much back. So, fellas,
yeah,
fellas,
yeah,
has your girlfriend got your butt?
Hell yeah.
Shake it,
shake it,
shake it,
shake it,
shake it,
shake it,
shake that healthy butt. Baby got bad
late.
Round and big, and when I'm throwing a gig, I just can't help myself. I'm acting like an animal. Now here's my scandal. I wanna get you home and double up. I ain't talking about Playboy, cause silicone parts are made for toys. I want them real thick and juicy, so find that juicy double. Mix-a-lot's in trouble, begging for a piece of that bubble. So I'm looking at rock videos. Knock knee bimbos walking like hoes. You can have them bimbos, I'll keep my women like Flojo. A word to the thick soul sisters, I wanna get with ya. I won't cuss or hit ya, but I gotta be straight when I say I wanna. Till the break of dawn, baby got it going on. A lot of simps won't like this song, cause them punks like to hit it and quit it. And I'd rather stay and play, cause I'm long and I'm strong, and I'm down to get the friction on. So ladies,
yeah,
ladies,
yeah,
if you wanna roll my Mercedes,
yeah,
then turn around, stick it out. Even white boys got the shout, baby got back. Baby got back.
Yeah, baby. When it comes to females, Cosmo ain't got nothing to do with my selection. 36, 24, 36. Only if she's 5'3.
So your girlfriend rolls a Honda, playing workout tapes by Fonda. But Fonda ain't got a motor in the back of her Honda. My Anaconda don't want none unless you got
buns, hun. You can do side bends or sit-ups, but please don't lose that butt. Some brothers wanna play that hard role and tell you that the butt ain't gold, so they toss it and leave it, and I pull up quick to retrieve it. So Cosmo says you're fat. Well, I ain't down with that, 'cause your waist is small and your curves are kicking, and I'm thinking about sticking to the beanpole dames in the magazines. You ain't it, Miss Thing. Give me a sister, I can't resist her. Red beans and rice didn't miss her. Some knucklehead tried to diss, 'cause his girls are on my list. He had game, but he chose to hit him, and I pull up quick to get with him. So ladies, if the butt is round and you want a triple X throwdown, dial 1-900-MIX-A-LOT and kick them nasty thoughts. Baby got back.
Minutes to four on a live 19.5. Matt and Mario here with the Business of Life, and we're live with Grace and John. And Grace, I've got a question for you. Because we just touched on like how COVID had, you know, caused you to pivot and this, that. Now that people are out of lockdown, how eager are they to now have their weddings, have their celebrations, or celebrate their birthdays, their christenings? Have you noticed an influx in terms of people wanting to celebrate their outdoor events now?
I think the industry's actually gone a bit mental at the moment, because at the moment we're trying to catch up on the events that were cancelled and postponed. When COVID hit, people had weddings and events that were booked in and deposits paid. And so the industry was offering no refunds, but to postpone and to pick another date. So a majority of the events that are happening now, not all of them, but a majority of them are the events that were supposed to happen during COVID that have now been pushed forward. So the industry's under a lot of pressure at the moment. But in saying that, people are very excited about going out, but then they're also a little bit hesitant because COVID still is lurking around and people are still scared about getting sick and having to isolate, even if it's just on your own now, whatever it is. And the whole concept...
You just send a lot of balloons, that's all.
Just put balloons around you, it'll stop it.
That's right. But yeah, no... People are very eager to go out. People are very eager to go back to celebrating and to having events and to just forget that COVID even existed. But it's a lot of pressure
for
us.
Well, let me just tell you, today was the news. That's a new super version of the... I know the scientists and experts told us. Today on news is coming. It's going to be very, very... very, very bad.
Well, I say that every week. But.
No. This is funny. They say it's like very serious. Like, you know what I mean?
Like the last four versions. Yeah,
just in case anyone's looking for grazing, JD the Graze offers the best grazing
boxes. Don't worry. You're going to come to that point where you're going to have it as like comfort food, you know what I mean? Like, and balloons, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like.
Well, we don't do the balloons anymore. We just do the grazing.
Why not balloons anymore?
Well, we can. You can. It's an add-on, but we can always. People want
you're
balloons
up yourself,
and flowers.
You?
And
you just said at the beginning of the interview, you're not up for the money here, but experience.
I'm not.
But the balloons are extra cost.
They are.
Well, they're not. If you put smiley on, somebody.
I'll do it with the text star.
Yeah. So, John, what are you seeing? What's happening in podcast industry, publishing industry right now?
It's interesting. I think you're finding a lot of consolidation as well. So a lot of people... particularly in the publishing area, like there was a lot of problems with bookstores and things like that. So you're looking for more digital.
Oh, okay.
So you got more...
like ebooks and stuff.
Yeah, like more ebooks and stuff like that. Interesting enough, books do sell. Physical books sell a lot. Like I think Amazon's most popular product in Australia is books in terms of what they sell. So physical books, they're actually doubling up printing facilities in America. They're putting more and more into more print books. So the fallacy is always a lot of digital, but there's actually a lot of physical books too. So the market still wants that.
If I I'm totally wrong, maybe, you know what I mean, but wasn't the airports the best places for the books being sold?
Well, the old airport myth, if I get my book in the airport, I'm made for life thing.
Yeah.
Actually, I did this the other day. One of the things you can do is, like, I went to an airport,
yeah,
took one of my books,
yeah,
and I put it on the bookstore shelf in the bookstore, right? And then took a photo, right? As people do. Actually, you know this, is very tricky. So then you leave the book there, and someone will pick that book up one day and go to the front counter and try to buy it. And luckily, in the books have a barcode on the back of every book.
Yes.
So they scan it. It's not in the database. It completely throws them in a mess, right?
Yes.
But then they got to try and find out where that book came from.
So they go to the publisher, they order it.
Yeah, they have to find that, right? So wow, it's a nice, neat way of getting your book in a bookstore, right?
Wow. Well.
I like that.
Yeah. And I've
take
done that a few times.
Authors.
Yeah. So, but the trouble with bookstores in airports is people don't stay there very long, right? And
no,
it's very, very cramped space, very hard to sell that spot. So bookstores, people don't really go to bookstores as such anymore, but they buy them online. So the whole nature of the industry has changed, the way they consume things, how the people get things.
So why some people choose my book over your book on Amazon? If you told me that topless man, you know, naked man, right?
Obviously the cover.
The cover?
Yeah, the cover sells the book, right?
So you do judge a book by its cover.
You do judge a book by its cover. So
okay,
if you've got a crappy cover...
Okay.
Right. I actually read something on LinkedIn. This guy was giving this advice of purpose to all these books and says, oh, don't worry about a cover. Just use whatever comes up on Amazon. I was like, what a bizarre piece of advice there. Because the reality is that you need to go to a shop to buy clothes, right? Like buying a shirt. You go sleeve shopping, right, don't you?
Yeah.
Because you don't buy shirt shopping, you're sleeve shopping. Right.
Well, that's all you can see where it's hanging
up. So what you can see is that little bit of the sleeve and you think, that looks good. I'll have a good look at that, right? Well, that's what books are like on Amazon. They're just little thumbnails. So if your book cover doesn't look good from a distance, like just put it a long way away and you pick it doesn't look good, it's not going to get seen on Amazon for starters. Mm. So your book cover needs to be good and has to, you know, stand out. And so if you've got 20 books in a row there looking down, your book needs to stand out.
I guess it's the same with social media marketing as well. With
same thing, yeah.
If you've got a pretty picture, you just post a pretty picture and it'll make people want to read what you've written. But if you've got something that looks boring or not really
stand out, like everybody else.
They'll just keep flicking through it.
Yeah. Imagine me as naked. I'm naked in my...
Are you thinking about these shirtless covers now?
Shirtless cover.
You
like
just
me,
pose
shirtless,
for that.
Shirtless and so like fast dieting.
Croatian lovers. thing, like, you know. See the title now.
Look, I was watching something on the internet the other day, and it was a big interview with Justin Trudeau and somebody else there in Canada, big politicians. You know what I mean? They're arguing like everybody's stupid and, you know, they're smart, everything else. Anyway, but it's a big video there, and under the video, because it's some, you know, social media website, some newspaper, whatever it is, but it's on a website, and under this goes advertising, right? So there's a video and advertising there. And there's a toenails full of the fungus, right? You know what I mean? How appropriate that for it is.
Yeah, that goes well, right?
Come on, like, just see toenails. You don't want to listen anymore. See how what they did, right? I mean, but they remember that interview because it was so disgusting because it was that commercial was there for the
you
moment.
Made an effect, yeah.
Made an effect. So there was no brainer with that one. So it's not always that sex sells everything. Sometimes you need to be creative and have the naked body of Mario Beckers on the cover page.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can rent for the good money.
So I'm on that subject then, swinging back to clean this up.
Yes, that's good.
With podcasting, one of the interesting things is that probably 90% of people who listen to podcasts have an iPhone. There's not a lot of Android users necessarily do much in podcast, listen to podcast.
Interesting.
And iPhone users usually can afford to buy the phone, right?
So
think about this, right? Your iPhone user pays more for a phone than an Android user does. Usually, of course, they just want a phone. And so when you buy an Apple phone, you got more money. So now you're having a conversation with someone for, say, 30 to 60 minutes on a podcast episode
who's
willing to listen to you for that period of time, who's probably got the money to spend. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a great piece of money? You can imagine why everybody wants to do podcasting because it's an audience that's listening to it have got money and they're willing to commit an hour of their time to listen to what you say. That's a very deep emotional human aspect when you think about podcasting. It's like radio.
I saw on your one, it's every morning 50,000 people. I saw this. And there's a lot of forums going under your podcast and so on. But what tip or what advice will give the people who want to do podcasts? You know what I mean? They want to be heard, being seen.
So it's interesting podcasting. You can actually write a book doing podcasting.
Come on, I have enough of this. You know, write a book, a podcasting. So, please continue.
So someone says to me, oh, I don't want to, haven't got time to write a book. I said, okay, start a podcast then instead. Right, it's quick, right? Because you can start a podcast, it's just audio, generally speaking. You can, like with our software we run, you can start a podcast in 30 seconds. But the reality is that you, what you're saying and recording over that period of time, all is all content for your book. So when you get to the end of that, say, season or whatever, you've got enough words there to write a book. So if you just work it that way and you're just going to talk this book through on a podcast, you've
okay,
your
so
book.
Now if I understand correctly, because I need to give my secret how I wrote a book, because... English not good, right? So anyway, I need a 5 people.
Is that the name of the book? Or?
Yeah, true. So I was looking the way how to work on my book, and I had enough of the writing the book, right? Because it's, you know, sitting in front of the computer doing nothing and so on, right? Actually, you're spending more time thinking how to write, and then I realized, let me do my conversation with myself, right? And I make it a table content, something similar.
Mm.
Let's go. Called table content, and I recorded, and then I had a, in about 60,000 words, and I put on rev.com, and there was a transcribed, and you know, I need to fire the people to decipher that English to proper one before I get the publisher. Unfortunately, poor Blaise, she passed away 2 weeks ago. And the thing is, you're correct. You can put your podcast into the book template, right?
Mm.
And that's what it is.
So each episode becomes, and the other way around too, if you write a book, your podcast can be the chapters of your book. All you have to do is go deep on each chapter, and that's enough content. That's your marketing plan for the next 2 to 3 years.
Was it time spent people can spend, will spend listening podcasts? Because I'm hearing, as I said, last night I was saw the Godfather, my son, and he listened some podcasts, you know, the old dictators, whatever it is, right?
Okay.
Dictators.
Yep.
And each he says, yeah, like, and he drives to the work and say like about 10 minutes, you know, that's his span to listen this.
Yeah.
What do you think? Is it good to go like a Joe Rogan 6 hours on the...
Yeah, the danger is that when you have a long podcast, it's an hour's commitment. If you do like 8 to 10 minutes, a bit like books, right? The most consumed books on Amazon are the ones that are only 80 to 100 pages.
So
why
is
the most
Joe
read.
Rogan so established?
So the idea is it's short, right? So a 10-minute podcast or something like that. There was a guy that, pretty famous sort of marketing guy in the marketing industry I deal with, he wrote the thing called Marketing Your Car, and he did a podcast for 10 minutes on his way to work every day. So it was always going to be around 10 minutes, right? And so he recorded this podcast episode in his car driving to work every day. But the idea was it's very short, you know, consumable chunks, right? People got ADA now, and they basically can't cope for that long periods of time. So 10 minutes is a good idea. 10, 15-minute podcasts go well, and they're quick and easy to produce.
That actually makes sense why Joe Rogan would do so well, because he cuts his clips. He has a 4-hour interview with 1,700 guests, but just cuts out 10-minute clips all throughout and just uploads the hell out of them and just...
Yeah, little tiny pieces. Yeah, people consume it quickly. Because the thing is, if you're going to drive to work and your drive's only 10 minutes, then you're not going to listen to an hour-long podcast because it takes four trips to get there.
Because we've also become less patient.
And oh, absolutely.
Like we're easily distracted and we just want to move on to the next thing. And you may be saying something that's really great, but I'm bored already. Like just
yeah, I have an idea.
Yeah, we'll go watch Justice League for 3 hours and sit still.
Oh, God, that's a...
like, you know what I mean? Like,
I was thinking the movie Gone with Wind, you know what I mean? It was the longest movie ever, but then there come the Justice League and the Superwoman, whatever it's called.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But I have a business idea, right? You're going to like this one. Car, grazing box,
yeah.
Podcast as a package. People drive to work, have a grazing box, 10 minutes box, you know, 10 minutes, how much gain. And
so eating and driving at the same time and listening to the podcast. That's like three things you're going to have
every
to do.
You subscribe to a grazing box for 21 days, you know what I mean, whatever it is, you know what I mean, get the free podcast, you know what I mean, how to be healthy. But they're grazing in a car while they drive to work.
Can we make it a healthy graze?
Whatever, you know, I mean, who cares? It's healthy or not healthy. Just get the grazing box.
So you don't need the fat book then. You don't need the diet book for then. You know, right?
Probably doesn't make any sense anymore. If we didn't.
But John says 10 minutes driving to work, that's how long it takes the span of the people. You know,
but audio books sell 10 times more than e-books, by the way. So audio books are massive because you can drag that out, right? You can start listening,
subscribe on the books, you know, e-books on with the John.
Okay.
In Evolvepreneur,
okay.
And Grazing Box, add, but of course, calculate the price.
Yep.
So lunch and learn.
Lunch and learn. Man, let's go take a short break before we wind up, and we come back with a few more questions before we wind up 2 hours past the bye, guys. Very quickly.
So yeah, stick around. This is The Business of Life with Mario and Matt, taking you on a short break.
Something new in 2022 with the Parramatta College. Term 1 courses are open for enrolment and include business and work skills, computer skills, leisure and lifestyle, languages. The Parramatta College also offer New South Wales government funded courses. Eligibility criteria applies. Improve your personal and professional development with the Parramatta College. Enrol today. Call 9687 2072. That's 9687 2072. Or visit parramattacollege.edu.au.
We are Invictus Partners, an Australian company specialising in checking software usage across the major vendors like SAP, Oracle, IBM, Microsoft and VMware. Are you looking to reduce your software fees? Are you worried about being audited? Are you migrating to the cloud? Do you need help working out your software usage versus entitlements? Contact us at Invictus Partners today before you get hit with a compliance fine. Go to www.invictuspartners.com to arrange a no obligation discussion to see how we can help you. Station sponsor.
We all know that paying for a funeral can be a financial burden. However, have you ever thought of paying off a prepaid funeral with none of the ongoing premiums that is associated with funeral insurance? $1,000 can get you started. Hills Family Funerals, a family-owned and operated business of 35 years, can make it easier for you. Call 02-9659-0900. Ask for Richard Spiteri or speak to one of the friendly staff members to learn how. Get assistance today. Call Hills Family Funerals, station sponsor.
It's All I Listen To, Alive 90.5, playing cool music. Alive 90.5.
We are Invictus Partners, an Australian company specialising in checking software usage across the major vendors like SAP, Oracle, IBM, Microsoft and VMware. Are you looking to reduce your software fees? Are you worried about being audited? Are you migrating to the cloud? Do you need help working out your software usage versus entitlements? Contact us at Invictus Partners today before you get hit with a compliance fine. Go to www.invictuspartners.com to arrange a no-obligation discussion to see how we can help you. Station sponsor.
Hexagon Home Loans is your trusted mortgage broker. We focus on providing you with personal service and expert advice to help you find the home loan which best suits your requirements. Ranging from first home loans, refinancing, investment home loans, self-employed home loans, debt consolidation and SMSF loans. With a large network of lending institutions at our fingertips, we can assist you in making a well-informed decision that will save you time and money. Call us on 1300 562 649. Australian Credit Licence 504481. Station sponsor.
It's 4 minutes to four on Alive 90.5, and this is The Business of Life with Mario and Matt. Unfortunately, it's come to the end of the show, and we do have to wrap up with the last 4 minutes. But before we do, I want to ask our guests, firstly starting with you, John, how can people find you personally, your business, and make the most out of your services?
Probably the best way is to go to johnnorth.com.au, which is basically the central point than everything else. Every time I think of a business idea, I create a new website. So it's just easy to have a brochure. But yeah, johnnorth.com.au, or actually the new domain is johnnorth.au, which now works as well.
johnnorth.au. I didn't know that was a domain that actually worked.
Yeah, it's a new change in domain, so they're changing from the .coms au to simple aus.
Yeah, good. Shall I get his own like sort of thing? And what can they expect when they rock up on your website and engage with you?
Talk a little bit of what we do, and then we've got sort of an interactive chat where they can actually ask, you know, if they wanted to book appointments, stuff like that. So it's nice and easy for them to see what we do or what I do, and then how they can sort of take that step from there, what they're looking for.
Perfect, perfect. And Grace?
I'm definitely on social media, so Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, GD Events, GD The Brand, GD Candles, but you can also find me on gdevents.com.au.
And what can they expect when they rock up on that website? Like, what would they come to you for?
So on the website, there's a portfolio of our work and of our grazing and, you know, pretty pictures, I guess, and a little bit more about what we do and a bit more about me. But there's also a...
For next edition, shirtless Mario Beckers. Attracting new customers.
I'm the styling next that shoot.
And John's going to make a new book. So
I got an idea with balloons.
Yeah.
What, revealing balloons around Mario's naked chest? Yeah. Or
it's a plan. It's a plan.
I can think of a book title coming here.
Behind the Beckers.
But it's also, sorry, on the website there's also a chat as well and an inquiry form, so you can reach out and say hi and make inquiries.
Love
thank
it.
You. Thank you. Grace, John, thank you very much for your time. It's been lovely to see speaking with you guys.
Thank
like
you.
Like Mario said, 2 hours flew by like a heartbeat, and I'm really glad I was able to be part of this conversation.
Thank you.
So for all thank that you. Are listening to this right now, this is The Business of Life with Mario and Matt. This interview with both Grace and John will be live on alive905.com.au. Be sure to check it out if you did miss any of the earlier sections of this interview. And once again, from Mario and I, thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned next week for Wednesday. Monday is 2 to 4, The Business of Life with Mario and Matt.
Today's bulletin brought to you by Your Sound, Your Community, Alive 90.5.
National Radio News.
Good afternoon, I'm Emily Minnie. Two new strike forces will be established by the Australian Federal Police to target organised crime across the country. One strike force will be based on the Gold Coast to monitor illegal activity in Queensland and across the border in New South Wales. The other will be in Melbourne and will look over the rest of the country. AFP Commissioner Rhys Kershaw says it's important to not just put criminals behind bars, but to also target their assets and money.
Criminals really despise it when we not only take away their freedom, but also their assets paid for